17th Perek of Mesilas Yeshorim B'Darkei Kinias HaTahara. What are the ways to acquire this Madrega called Tahara? Hine, Haderech LaHasig Hamida HaZos Kalhu L'Mishekvar Hishtadav HaSig Hamida HaShnuas Arheina. The way to achieve this trait of Tahara is actually easy for the person who's worked and achieved all the previous levels. If you're going in order, by the time you get to Tahara, it's not that hard to achieve it. It's hard to get there. Kihine, kishayachshav yisboinen al pchisas tanugi oil metovasav. If a person would sit and think and consider how physical pleasures and physical good things are really unimportant and insignificant, trivial, kosha kasav to the malas I wrote above, yimas behem, he will reject them. V'yachshav el l'ra'ois, he'll see them for bad, and it's a flaw, it's something lacking in the physical nature, the dark and the thick. If he thinks about this and realizes the truth, that these are actually negatives, these are bad things, it'll be easy to remove himself from them and not pay attention to them. Okay, therefore, the more person thinks about and recognizes how physical things and physical pleasures are insignificant, it'll be much easier for him to purify his thoughts and his heart, not to be drawn after the Yetzer Hara, in any activity that he engages in. Essentially, all physical activities he engages in are things he's forced into, essentially. He has to do it. He's a physical being. He's got to do it, but for no other reason. This itself, of course, is a very high madriga. And getting up to this level is very high. Remember, tzaddik is a long time ago. To get to tzaddik is an earlier madriga. This is way beyond Sitkus and Precious. You get to Tahar, it's a very high madriga. And the concept he's basically saying is, because we are physical, we need to do physical things, we need to. But we do it only because we have to. Not because we want to, not because we think it's good. It's something we're forced into doing. There is a concept that Chazal teach us. Last week's parsha, Avraham Avinu has three guests. They're angels. He gives them to eat. And he gives them good stuff to eat. Not stam. He gives them good food. Tongues, mustard, bread, all the stuff he brings them. And Rashi says, of course, that angel doesn't eat. Angels don't eat. There's a Gemara that says angel food is mon. Mon is the food for angels. That's a Gemara, whatever that means. They don't eat food. So what are they doing? They're Avram is serving them. They're eating. So Rashi says, you remember Rashi says, they pretend. When you're on earth, you got to do like the earth people. You're down here, you got to do minig ha-makom. People eat down here, they have to make like they're eating. And conversely, when Moshe Rabbeinu went 40 days up on Har Sinai, he didn't eat and didn't drink. Because when you're up by Shemayim, no one eats and drinks, so he has to behave like Shemayim. So he doesn't eat and drink. So the angels on earth have to pretend to eat, because you can't mishana from the minig, you can't change the minig. And people in Shemayim can't eat because they have to be like the minig in Shemayim. So the Ger Rebbe, I believe, was the Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael was very holy. Many of the Rebbes, the Ger Rebbe Beis Yisrael, he was known, he had penetrating eyes. He would see right through people. People went in line to see him and get out of line. They were afraid to get into his room to look. He was a very holy man. I believe he said a vort to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yaakov said it over when he came back from a trip to Eretz Yisrael. He said that the Rebbe told him, I think that's the yichus of the story, that the Rebbe told Rabbi Yaakov that just like the malachim on earth had to pretend to eat because you're on earth, there are people on earth who have to pretend to eat because you're on earth. That's what he said. to me, this is what the Ramchal is talking about. This is Madrega, where I don't have to eat. But you have to eat. All right, Minigam Malkam, we have to eat. I'm eating because it's the Minigam Malkam. The same way the angels had to eat when they're down by Avraham Avinu, so there are people who have to eat because it's the Minigam Malkam, you have to eat. That's how I understand this line in Ramchal, this idea of Mesias Hashoram. It's a very high level, that they don't eat because they want to eat, they eat because they have to eat, and that's it. V'amnam, Ramchal continues, K'mo shetaras ha-machshava chalaknu l'shnei chalokim, the same way purity of thought is divided into two sections, ha-echad b'ma'asim ha-gufarim, one has to do with the physical activities, ha-echad b'ma'asei ha-avodah, the second is with spiritual activities. And we said that there shouldn't be ulterior motives in each one. The goal is not to have ulterior motives, not only in your physical, but even in your spiritual. In your avodas Hashem, it should be with a pure heart, but tahara. Kein ha'iyun ha'mitzdorek k'dei l'knoso. So too, the analysis and introspection to acquire tahara, yischalek l'shnayim, is also divided into two. Kihine. Letar machshavto b'maisa gufniyos. In order to purify his mind when it comes to physical activity, so the way to do that is to focus on the unimportance or insignificance or triviality of physical things and its pleasures, as I wrote before. And to purify his mind when it comes to Avodas Hashem, how do you do that? To make sure you do your Avodas Hashem l'shem mitzvah and not for ulterior motives. Yarbe hisporinus al tarmis hakavod. He has to focus on the deceit of honor, uchizavav, and its falseness. Vayagol atzmo levorachim, and he has to train himself to run from honor. Then he'll be pure in his avodah from ulterior motives of receiving praise and accolades that people will say wonderful things about him. And instead of thinking about that, he'll think only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashehu Tilasenu, that's our praise, we call Tuvenu, all our good, Ushlemu Senu, our perfection, V'efazulaso, there's nothing else. V'chenu Omer Hu Tilaschav Hu Alakecha. Hashem is where you find your praise. So this is the challenge. When you want to focus on your physical activities, and it's be done L'Shem Shemayim, which itself is a very high madrega. So the way to achieve that is to realize that your physical involvement and activities for pleasure and for indulging, that's not good. There's nothing, no value in that. So fine, that is a concept that people can relate to. But the other side of it is when you do a mitzvah, make sure your mitzvahs are done without ulterior motive. You're doing your mitzvahs l'shma, because of Avos Hashem, for no other reason. Not to get schar and not to get praise, not for any other reason. I'm doing it only because Hashem wants, it gives nachsuch to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is your focus? How do you acquire that? He says the way to acquire that is to constantly consider the insignificance and unimportance and the deceit or the delusion of covet. Because when it comes to avodas Hashem, there's always that possibility that part of your lishma, there's a shalom lishma. I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to. And it doesn't hurt that people think I'm a very good person. It doesn't hurt that people think I'm a tzaddik. It doesn't hurt that people think I'm a great person, praiseworthy, and so on and so forth. And you have to try to move away from that. You have to try to separate any concept of ulterior motive, any concept of I'm doing this for other reasons. And he says the way to do that is to focus on covet, that you're supposed to run from covet, stay away from covet. Covet is, it's false, it's meduma, it's an illusion, it's not real, and to stay away from, and that's what you have to focus on. Umin hamasim hamadrichim esa'an levo demidazu. Now, the things you can do that will guide you to this level, hu ahazmana ledivya avoid mitzvahs. It all boils down to your preparation to do the voida, to do the mitzvah. Vahainu. You should not go into a mitzvah suddenly. When he's not focused, and you didn't give yourself a chance to think about what you're about to do. He should take the time to prepare himself. V'yachin liba b'mitun, and think about it and set his heart to it. Ad sheikanes b'hisboinus, until he goes into the mitzvah with the proper mindset. V'hisboinin ma'hu hoylech la'asos, he's considering where he's going to go. V'fneimihu hoylech la'asos, and before whom is he going to do it? Shai b'kanso b'yunazef, you go into a mitzvah with this kind of mindset. It's much easier to discard any external ulterior motive. And you'll make firm in your heart the true intent, the desired intent. So this is what we can take out of it. We might not be on this level of Tahara. We're working on being tzaddikim. This is way ahead of where we're at. But this piece of the puzzle, this concept that the way to achieve a mitzvah b'tahara, to do a mitzvah properly, is to prepare in advance. Don't just do mitzvahs haplop. Don't just run into it. But take some time to consider, what am I about to do? Before whom am I doing it? And then you go into the mitzvah, it's much easier to do the mitzvah without any ulterior motive. V'tira. The Gemara says that the Chassidim Rishonim, the early pious ones, would take an hour before they would daven. They would prepare for an hour. Then they would daven. In order that they could properly focus their heart to Hashem. Now that hour wasn't a wasted hour. Dead kavanas and set their hearts for davening, shalem lespala, in order to daven. V'doichem elim machshavos hazaros, they would push aside strange thoughts, umesmalim hayir v'avet tzvicha, they would fill themselves up with the necessary yiras shemayim avet Hashem. V'oyim, like the pasuk says, imata hachinos libecha parashto lecha elav kapecha. You set your heart and spread your hands to Hashem. Hine mafside hamida, and what takes away from this? Him chesun hisbainus. The lack of forethought, al hanyonim shezachan, on these matters we're discussing, the hainu, sichlus, foolishness, pechisus atanugim, the concept that tainug is unimportant, v'difus hakover, the whole issue of running after honor, miyat hachon l'avoida, the lack of preparation l'avoida. Kishnaim hu yishoyim hefatim es machshava, sichlus, pechisus atanugim, these things convince you, they work on your mind, and they strive to take you away to ulterior motives. No different than a woman who goes away from her husband and tries to lure other people after her. We call these external thoughts or ulterior motives zanus halev. It's a form of zanus. It's zanus of the heart. Because the heart is turning away from the perfect outlook or the proper outlook. Which the heart should have been tied to. El havolim, instead it turns to nonsense with dimyonis, kozvim, and illusions and imaginary things, false things. Umiyat hachana, and without proper preparation, gram lesichlus hativi haba mitzad hachomesh lo yigarsh mitocho, then the natural physicalness will prevent him from being able to focus properly because he didn't focus on getting rid of that. Vayomavish es avoida b'sirchono, and will make his avoida unfit to a certain extent. It'll make it smell bad. It'll be rancid because he didn't remove the earthliness from his mitzvahs. When Ivaratam is chassidus, and the next level we'll talk about is chassidus. So the Ramchal says that one of the keys to doing a mitzvah at Tahara is to take time in advance to prepare for the mitzvah. And the Gemara says this concept of chassidim yishonim would take an hour before they daven to prepare themselves. And many will say that for us, take, I'd love to say 2 minutes, but even 10 seconds. I heard this many years ago. You want to improve your davening, when you get to Shemoneh Esrei, take a few seconds just to stop. What am I doing now? Da'alef nemiyata omed. What am I doing now? What am I about to do? Who am I about to come to talk to? Who am I standing before? Da'alef nemiyata. Take a second to think about that. So Chassidim Yishonim took an hour, and they're totally in a different place when they davened. For us, even if we take a few seconds before we daven Shmoneh Esrei to remember what are we about to do, your davening will be a different davening. Your Shmoneh Esrei is different Shmoneh Esrei. And what the Ramchal is saying is, it's not just Shmoneh Esrei. It's everything we do. Imagine if you would take 5 seconds to think about the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon before you benched. Wouldn't your benching be a different benching? Wouldn't Birchas HaMazon be a different Birchas HaMazon if you think before? It's 5 seconds. What am I about to do? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me the food to sustain me. The Yisoid V'Shor Sh'Avoda actually composed a tefillah that he would say before he benched. The Yisoid V'Shor Sh'Avoda writes, I would say this nusach before I would start benching, and the nusach was a special tefillah, no one should interrupt me during my benching. No one should disturb my benching, because you're benching and all of a sudden, you got a phone call, someone to speak, someone at the door, things going on around, all kinds of distractions, you're trying to bench. And benching isn't a time for, 1 minute, the motion with your hands. And that's not what benching is about. Benching is benching. I'm not clearing the table. I'm not combing my hair. I'm not doing any, I'm benching. When you bench, you bench. So he would say a tefillah that nothing should disturb him during his benching, before he would bench. If you bench like that, you then understand a concept that I heard also many years ago. When Pesach occurs on Motzoi Shabbos, so Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So you remember, it's very challenging. When Erev Pesach is Shabbos, is very challenging because the whole house is Pesachic, but you can't eat any matzah. So you have to have chametz for your suda Shabbos, but you can't get anything chametzic because everything's Pesachic. So you'll have a Pesach meal in one place and have some rolls in the basement or in a nook in a corner, and then you wrap every roll up in a tissue and any crumbs go on the garbage. Right? Very careful how to do that. So we do that Friday night and we eat the meal Pesach. Then Shabbos day we do the same thing. But there's a time limit when you have to finish eating chametz because you can't eat chametz all morning. So then we daven in shul very early, the minyanim are early, and there's no speeches, no drushes. And we finish davening early, and we go home, and you have your suda, and we get rid of the chametz, and then the Shulchan Aruch says that for Shal Shudas you'll have some fruits, because you really can't eat in the afternoon on Shabbos or Pesach. You're not supposed to have mezonos. You can't wash. There's no bread. There's no matzah. No anything. You have some peiros. Have some fish. That's Shal Shudas. So comes along a body of work that says I have an etzah. Why should I rely on fruit and fish for Shal Shudas? I can wash for Shal Shudas. You can't wash in the afternoon. No, not in the afternoon. In the morning, we'll come home from shul early. Like we daven in a regular Shabbos, 9 o'clock. On Shabbos, Erev Pesach, we daven at 7:30. An hour and a half earlier than usual. And like most shuls, it's like very standard. So you daven at 7:30. You're home by 9:30. Very quick davening, no lumen. Speeches to stop. 9:30 you're home. The zman to stop eating chametz is, let's say, it's 11 o'clock. So you get home and you're going to wash. Make kiddush and you're going to wash and have your challah and the tissues and wrap it up and throw away. And you have some fish or some chopped liver, whatever it is, and you bench. You bench. So now it's like 10:15 and you bench. You still have till 11 o'clock to eat chametz. You still have till another 40 minutes. So then you go for a walk around the block. And 20 minutes later, you come back and wash again. Wash a second time. And you make hamotzi, and you take the crumbs and throw it away, and make sure your teeth are clean. And then you have cholent or whatever else at your third meal. But you got in 3 washing before the Zman Isser, right? So that means you have to bench, wash and bench, and then you're going to wash and bench again. So I heard many years ago from a big tzaddik, can't do it. Can't do it. I can't bench twice in that amount of time you're giving me. Benching is not an easy thing to do. We think, yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah, you wash, you bench, go with man, wash it. I can't do that. Benching is an avoida. This size, I can't. I follow Shulchan Aruch, he says. I'll wash, and I'll eventually bench when the meal is over, Pesach Tik, and I'll have fruit in the afternoon. You tell me I should wash and bench. I can't. I can't. Benching takes too much out of him. Takes too much out of him. That's benching. That's benching. So that's what halacha says. Such a person doesn't have to wash twice before the zman is. And by the way, not everyone holds the works anyway, because that's why you still have to have your fruits in the afternoon. Because many shittas hold, you won't be yotze shal shudas before chatzos. So even though we do it in case we are yotze, but we're still going to have fruits in the afternoon for shal shudas if you weren't yotze. But this year, I can't. I can't wash a bench. It doesn't happen. Benching is an avodah. I can't bench and then an hour later bench again. It's not happening. That's an avodah. That's benching, right? So we're not at that level either. But we can take a few seconds before we bench and think about what we're about to do. And what would be if before we say Asher Yatzar, we would stop for a second, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, and think about the thing. Think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel'Olam made an unbelievable bria in the human being and say the bracha with kavana. Think about what the words mean. If you don't take the time beforehand to stop yourself, you're busy. You're walking down the hall, you're going here, you're going there, and you bench on the way. I'm sorry, say Asher Yatzar on the way. You shouldn't be walking anywhere. You should say Asher Yatzar stationary. You shouldn't be going anywhere. I once saw this. It made such an impression on me. It was Shavuos night, and I was learning in a Beis Medrash in Baltimore. And there's a Yid from Eretz Yisrael who happened to be in Baltimore for that time. And I see him go at 3 in the morning. He stands up by his seat, puts on his bakashut, puts on his shtreimel, and it's like he's saying Shmon Esrei, but he's saying Asher Yatzar. He's saying Asher Yatzar. Stands up, he came back to his place, puts on his gartel, puts on his shtreimel, and says Asher Yatzar. That's an Asher Yatzar. He wasn't doing anything else. He dressed for the Asher Yatzar. That's an Asher Yatzar. It's a different avoda. So much of the mitzvahs we do would be enhanced if we just take a little time before we do it and make a hachonah or preparation for the mitzvah. Whether it's lighting candles Friday night, hafrashas challah, whatever the mitzvah is, we shouldn't go run into a mitzvah bepesa pisom, the way his lashon is. You don't run into a mitzvah suddenly, quickly, do it with deliberation, slowly, deliberately, with a hachana, with a preparation. Whether the preparation is putting on a hat and a jacket, whether the preparation is to wash your hands. To wash your hands. You're not obligated to wash your hands before you say a bracha. But if you wash your hands before you bench Shabbos licht, it's covered for the mitzvah. I'm preparing for the mitzvah. It is brought down to wash hands before bir chametz. It's brought down that a man should wash his hands before he says the bracha al bir chametz. And I believe there are people who wash their hands before lighting Chanukah licht. It's part of hachana. I'm going to wash my hands. You don't say a bracha. You don't say anything. You're just washing your hands in a kiyus before you go to do a mitzvah. And it's all part of doing things to put yourself in the mind for, mindset about do a mitzvah, Hashem, say a bracha. It's a different. I am sure if a woman went and washed her hands before she went to Sinlich for Friday Shabbos candles, it's a different line of Shabbos candles. So if you didn't know yet, Chasidim, in the term that we use it today, are very big into hachana, very big into preparations. They say a story. I imagine it did happen that the Satmar Rav was asked to be sandig at a bris. And tell him what time it was. Unless they said the bris is supposed to be at the davening's at 7:30, the bris at 8:30. He shows up at 9:15. So the Baal Simcha is upset. Doesn't it say, Vayashkim Avam Babaiker, that you're supposed to do mitzvahs? You get up early, do a mitzvah early, and you don't delay with bris meal. That's why we do bris meal in the morning. Typically, we do bris in the morning because the reason the mitzvahs, you want to do a mitzvah as early as possible. Can't do it before sunrise, but we try to do it early. We try to do it in the morning. Sometimes there are cases we do in the afternoon, but generally we try to do it in the morning. So he says to the rabbi, shouldn't you do the mitzvahs? He says, of course. I started my hachanas very early. I started my preparations very early. But I wasn't done till now. Now I'm ready for the mitzvah. It takes time, hachanas. Preparations take time. So I started my preparations early. Absolutely. And now I'm ready for the mitzvah. So it's 45 minutes later than he wanted. But this is reason makdim. He started the hachanas early. So this is well known. The Hasidim are very big in hachanas. So I didn't think of it in this term, but the chassid explained it very nicely like this. It was brought in by davening, so they take a long time leading up to Birchas Kriyas Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. Brachos, Karbonos, Pesuk Dezimra take a long time. It takes a long time. I don't know how to qualify for you in terms that you might be familiar with. In a shul, brachos and karbonos and shul will take 3 to 5 minutes. And Pesuk Dezimra will take anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. Maybe in yeshiva, it's like 20 minutes from the time it starts till you get to Yishtabach. Okay? By the Hasidim, it's a half hour. Till you get to Yishtabach, it's a half hour. From Yishtabach to the end of Shemoneh Esrei, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Like the whole thing is zip, 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 zip. And I couldn't understand. Like, shouldn't you be saying Shema the way you say Ashrei? I mean, the Ashrei was an unbelievable Ashrei. They were saying Ashrei like it was Slichas. And it comes to Shema, zip, 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 1, 2, 3, through Shema. Shemoneh Esrei is quick. So it seemed inconsistent. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is that? So the Chassid said, you don't understand. If you have a bow and arrow, if you ever did archery, pulling the arrow back on the bowstring takes a lot of effort. It's not a simple thing. It's difficult. It's hard. It's taut. You got to pull really hard. But when you did the proper preparation, you just let go. Zoom. The arrow flies very fast. Our hachana takes a half hour. But if you do the hachana right, the mitzvahs go 1, 2, 3. Very smooth, straight, quick. You don't have to delay in the mitzvah itself. The hachon is where they put their emphasis. On the mitzvah itself, it goes flying straight. That's a very new concept to someone who did not grow up in a Hasidic world. For the Hasidim, that's what they do. The efforts, the hachon is where they spend the time, the effort they put in the hachon, the mitzvah goes smooth, quick, 1, 2, 3. But everything they avoid is in the hachon. To a certain extent, that's a little bit what Ramchal is saying. So Ramchal is saying you got to work on the hachonah. If you work on the hachonah, you miss a different mitzvah. Now, the non-Hasidic world would say, yes, you have to do the hachonah. But you got to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah should also be done with a kovid roish and with a sense of a hislavus and so on. But it was just to me a very interesting switch from what I'm used to. We'll go quick through Pesuk Dezimra. When it gets to Shema, Shema is slow. Birchas Kriyas Shema is slow. Shemoneh Esrei is even slower. And by them, it's like reverse. Like it was just so strange that the Ashrei and the Halukas were every word and with emphasis and with passion. And then you get the Birchas Kriyas Shema, like the whole Shema. You know, you may notice it. It's a smaller nuance. If you come to Yeshua by Ashkenazim and Yeshivas and most of our shuls, when you finish the Bracha, 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 there's usually a pause before we start Shema. There's usually a silence before we start Shema Yisrael. Why is there a silence? Because we're gathering our thoughts. We're taking a few seconds. I'm about to mekayim the mitzvah to say of Kriyas Shema. I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. I'm a kabel omacha shemayim. And we think about these things. There's a pause. There's a noticeable pause between the end of the bracha and the beginning of Shema. By the Hasidim, it's literally v'ahavo Shema Yisrael. Literally no hesitation whatsoever. The second they finish the bracha b'ahava Shema Yisrael, there is no break, no wait, no anything. And I've seen this in many kehilas. By the non-Hasidim, there's a break, the little pause. By Hasidim, you go straight one into the other because their hachanis are leading up to that. They did hachanis before Yishtabach. Their hachanis, the hopes of the Zimba, everything leading up to that is hachana. So now I don't have to do hachana. Now I did my hachana already. Once I'm up to Kriyas Shema, everything goes smooth, quick, 1, 2, 3. It's a different way of doing Avodah. But in the concept is this idea that if you focus on the hachana, if you focus on preparation in advance, then your mitzvah will go smooth without ulterior motive. It's a more perfect way of doing the mitzvah. And again, this is not limited to the examples he gives, are tefillah examples, and the way I'm explaining it, it's not just tefillah, it's with everything, with every mitzvah we do, with every mitzvah we do. You know, we do chesed all the time. We do chesed all the time. When we think of doing chesed, you think of, you know, watching someone's child, they have to run and it's an emergency, or we think of big things. We think of big terms of chesed. Helping someone make Shabbos, be kecholim in a hospital, go to old age home. Chesed is opening the door for somebody. Just holding the door open for someone is a chesed. Passing someone something that they can use is a chesed. You see someone's coat on the floor, you pick it up, put it on a chair, put it on a hanger for them. You can do chesed all day long. Chesed is not something I got to do by the goyim, my good deed for the day. There are some goyim, halavai, all goyim has such a hasag. Good deed for the day. I'm going to do a good deed. And then I heard one speaker say, yeah, you should have a notebook and keep a record of every day you do something good. I'm sorry, every day you do one thing good? You should do dozens of things good. All day long you're doing things. You have opportunities to chesed literally all day. I think an hour shouldn't go by where you can't do something with someone else. Please pass the salt. That's not a chesed. Why isn't that a chesed? Chesed doesn't have to be these big, enormous things. It doesn't mean I see someone with a flat tire and I change the tire for them. That's also chesed. But that's not, you know, the bar isn't high like that. Anytime you think about someone else and do something for someone else, that's part of chesed. But do we think about it? Do we consider that I'm about to do a chesed? Or I do it without any thought at all? Or I just think this is common decency and it has nothing to do with chesed. We do acts of chesed all the time. If you would just take a second to think, I'm doing an act of chesed, it would be a mitzvah of chesed. It could be it's a mitzvah of chesed without the hachana too. Maybe you would do it a little better if you did the hachana. I don't know. I don't know how much better you could open a door for someone. You open the door, you open the door. But right, to think about that. Is there ways to improve on what we do for others? But I don't think chesed is something that's once a day requirement. Let's find a chesed to do today. You don't have to look for chesed to do. I mean, you could. It's a nice thing to look for chesed. But really, there are many opportunities to do chesed on a regular basis. You know, you go to a chasana, and very often on the table is just water, right? And then if you want a soft drink, you go, there's someone off in the corner serving soft drinks, right? Right? So I'm sure you've all had the experience of going to get yourself a drink. Do you make sure to come back to the table with two drinks? One for yourself, one for the person next to you? Do you ever think about that? You're thirsty. Probably they're thirsty too. I've seen this. It's a simple thing. You go get two, please. You come back to the table. Now, if they want a diet and you got them regular, you know, insult someone. Don't give them diet if they don't want diet. But whatever it is, you're getting a drink. Probably the person next to you is thirsty too. I used to say it's the chasanim. You're at the dinner table, and you're thirsty. So you get a glass. You think maybe your wife is thirsty too? I mean, if you're thirsty, probably she's thirsty also. If you're getting a glass, get two glasses. Don't get one. You go into the fridge to get a drink, pour your wife a glass. I mean, you're thirsty, that means she's probably thirsty too. She doesn't have to ask you, can I have a drink? Give her a drink. And of course, you can do the reverse. If you're getting a glass or a drink, so maybe get two. But even when it's not husband wife, just friends at a table, shouldn't you get two drinks? Like, why should any extra effort to ask the fellow behind there, pour me two, please? And you come to the table with the second drink to give the person next to you? The opportunities to do chesed abound. This is a matter of being able to think, like, for a second, what can I do for someone else? And very often, if you need it for yourself, someone else probably can use it too. That's the second half of this. If it's something that you could benefit from, there's probably someone else who can benefit also. I remember once, years ago, this was a difficult one. Years ago, we had a community dinner, and there was a guest speaker from New York. And the guest speaker was giving a lot of mussar. And one of the things he said was, I don't understand. He's talking to the women. I mean, there's a man and woman, separate seating. He says, your friend comes to you and says, you have such a nice outfit. Where did you get it? And you don't want to tell her where you got it. Why don't you want to tell her where you got it? Because she's going to buy the same outfit? She's not going to tell her where you got it? And he went on in these kinds of things. So it's an interesting problem because I don't think he embraced the reality that women find it embarrassing to be wearing the exact same thing as someone else at an affair. So he was saying, you look good in it, you like it, why shouldn't your friend look good in it too? Now, with men, it's a whole different story. With men, a few times in my life, a fellow came to say, oh, I love your tie, which is the keyword means he's got the same tie. That's how it works with men. If someone's wearing the same tie you have, they'll come, oh, I like your tie. That's the only time a guy will compliment another guy's tie, right? Or, oh, I like your suit. And you look twice and wearing the same suit. So that is as far as it goes with men. And life goes on and we're fine. No one's running home to change. But with women, it's clearly something else. So he was giving a hard time. Why won't you tell your friend where you bought that top, where you bought that outfit, where you bought that dress? What's the matter? Shouldn't she be dressed nice also? All right, you know, he doesn't embrace or accept this concept that for women, it's an embarrassment, whatever it is. And honestly, I don't understand it either. I know it exists, so I accept the reality. Like, it's real. Okay, it exists, it's real. Wife and daughters, I know it's real. I don't understand it, but it's real. Okay. So, again, if there's a sale in a store, you don't tell your friends there's a sale at a place. You're going someplace. Do you want to ride? I'm going. Do you want to come? I think people do that. They realize I can benefit. They can benefit. We try to help other people. If it's good for me, it's probably good for someone else also. The exact same outfit, maybe not. Okay, fine. So maybe that's taking it too far. But conceptually, there is a yesod. When it comes to doing for others, if you need it for yourself, you benefit for yourself, don't stop there. Don't stop there. I remember when I came to yeshiva, to Baltimore, from Eretz Yisrael, I wasn't very happy having left Eretz Yisrael. And the first Rosh Hashanah, I was talking to a friend of mine who was with me in Eretz Yisrael. We were together now in Baltimore. And I was disappointed by the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, on Rosh Hashanah, we all learn Mishnayis, Maseches Rosh Hashanah at the table. And if you're familiar, there's four chapters of Maseches Rosh Hashanah Mishnayis. There's four meals on Rosh Hashanah. So there's a practice some people have to learn a parak of Mishnayis at each meal. The first night's the first parak, the first day lunch, second parak, and so on until you do all four parak onto four meals. So he said to me, and it sticks with me, I guess, he says, why are you complaining about it? That in Eretz Yisrael you did it, and here they don't do it. Let's do it. And within a couple of days, it was arranged with Rosh Hashiva to make some 300 copies of the Homo Sechs Rosh Hashanah on a laminated card, and the whole yeshiva got cards with Masechs Rosh Hashanah. And I think to this day they still do it. They still learn Masechs Rosh Hashanah by the students of Rosh Hashanah. So again, it's like something you feel a need, you want to do it, others aren't doing it, but they could benefit from it, so what are you fetching about? Make it available for everyone. So let them do it too. And sometimes you have these opportunities to be proactive, to help someone or help others in doing things that, again, it benefits you, it'll probably benefit someone else too. So don't just do it for yourself. Have others in mind. So this is a more global view of how you can focus on chesed and do for others. And again, obviously the Ramchal is saying try not to have ulterior motives in the process. I'm just saying that a person can do so much chesed if you had a little thought about it. This idea of hachana, the idea of before you get into it, so let's think what we can do. Let's put our minds to it. What can we accomplish? How can we help? How can we make it better? What can we do for others? There's amazing things that can be done for others. If you just put a little time and mind to it, think about other people. Don't just think about yourself. There are so many opportunities, so many ways you can do things for other people that it's something we should avail ourselves to. But again, it all comes with this thinking first. Thinking first. Just don't just do it. Think about it first. Think about, oh, it's good for me. Maybe someone else can benefit. Maybe someone else needs it. And from there, really the sky's the limit.